Dr. Kevin Most at 6:45 is going to join us now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Let me go to Kev now. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Had a great weekend. Great weekend.
See, it's the same. No matter how many people I ask how the weekend is, nobody asks me. It's unbelievable.
Did you see the email I just sent you?
Oh, what did you send me?
So this weekend, because I have to do this shout-out, I know we're even late here, but I still have to do this shout-out. Dick Royce, the Good Humor Man. This is a guy, he's 70 years old. He retired from AT&T, I think 5 or 6 years ago, and bought a Good Humor truck.
Oh, that's cool.
And now he goes around to festivals and picnics and provides Good Humor ice cream.
He's the ice cream man.
To kids, yeah. All his profits go to St. Jude's Hospital or to other healthcare facilities.
How great is that?
He is a huge listener. I was going to put him up for Kid of the Week, to be honest with you. But
is he just north of the margin?
70 years old. He stood there for 2.5 hours while the kids were in line, made every single kid feel special.
God bless him. That's a great story. What? Give me his name again.
Dick Royce. If you Google the Good Humor Man, you'll see it. But he is just a phenomenal guy.
Sounds like it. That's a good find. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. And Dick Royce, can people hire him to come out to do that kind of charity thing?
Yep.
So just Google the Good Humor Man.
And the truck is so cool.
I bet it is.
It comes up, thegoodhumorman.com, if people want to book him. It's literally a landing page.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And keep in mind, you have him for a party, he's going to turn over the profits to reasonable or to worthy charities.
What about dog parties?
He'd probably do dog parties.
Do a dog party?
Okay, but dogs can't have ice cream, right? People could have ice cream.
Can't have chocolate. Yeah, they might be able to have vanilla.
Yeah, they could have a bomb pop.
What about a popsicle? Well, Doc, listen, we got to talk about Parkinson's disease here, and it's a disease that's gotten some celebrity play. I'll tell you, from a personal standpoint, maybe my favorite agent of all time, a guy named Ron Simon in Minneapolis, he handled a whole bunch of well-known baseball players back in the 90s, guys like Paul Molitor and Kent Herbeck and guys like that, and also represented me and some others, Mark Zapelsa at one point. Had Parkinson's, and I remember the first time I walked into a meeting with him, I saw this little guy kind of slumped behind a desk, and biases are what they are. You see somebody in that sort of shape and you think, well, how's he gonna fight for me? He is the toughest guy I've ever met, and he had a great move. He would finish a negotiation, and if it hit a wall, he'd get up, and he said, it would take me so long to get to the door. By the time I got to the door, the person went, all right, come back. I've changed my mind. So let's start with the obvious here. Michael J. Fox, probably the most prominent person that comes to mind, but also Muhammad Ali, Linda Ronstadt. Parkinson's is what?
Yeah, and the reason we're talking, Alan Alda just came out last week about, that he's had it been stricken with the disease for the last 3 years. But the sad thing about Parkinson's, it's a progressive illness. It's a progressive neurologic illness that kind of takes away a lot of your motor function, so a lot of your ability to control your movement. And that's the sad part because, like you said, it's that sometimes that social isolation where they don't want to go out because they're embarrassed with the movements. So it's very important that people understand the disease.
So when we see Michael J. Fox and there's that constant bobbing back and forth and things, that's a result of the condition?
Yeah. So he has gotten to a point now where he has something called dyskinesias, where he has these movements that he has no control over whatsoever, and they're often very jerky movements, which we see in people after they've been on some of the medications that we use to treat Parkinson's. After a period of about 5 years being on that medication, we'll sometimes see these other bad jerky movements that are very disruptive.
Dr. Most, Parkinson's has come a long way. Of course, we'll talk after the break just a little bit more about what we know about treatments today. But in terms of the disease or the illness over time, when we look back in history, has it always been something we've recognized to be Parkinson, or as it evolved our understanding of it?
It's evolved a little bit. Probably the biggest thing is that as we're living longer, we're starting to see more people have it. But the symptoms are pretty straightforward and are pretty noticeable, so that when you see that, you kind of have a great idea of what it is. there's no blood test for it. There's no other test. The physician is going to make the diagnosis based on your symptoms, what you're telling him in a physical exam. So we really haven't advanced there. We're still trying to look for things. Do we have markers that we can find this earlier? There's a little genetic component to it, but there's often people that don't have a genetic component to it. So real important that we haven't advanced as much in Parkinson's as we need to. So I'm even going to make a pitch for donations to actually to advance this research, and we'll talk about some of the cool things that are that they're doing.
Including something called deep brain stimulation. Again, not a band I was in. That's an actual medical thing.
What seems to be the problem? Bicycle accident, fractured tibia about 5 inches below patella.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with
what, sir?
With what Dr. Ashland just said. Do you concur?
Well, it was a bicycle accident. The boy told us.
So you concur?
He's Northwestern Medicine.
Looked like a bicycle accident to me.
Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Let's go back to Doc. Dr. Kev Most, we're talking about Parkinson's. Sandberg, say hi.
Hey, Kev. I know you said for the people that medicine is no longer working the oral, they have the deep brain stimulation.
Yeah. It's really cool. So people will often take the medication. So in Parkinson's, we have in our brain, we have these cells called substantia nigra, and they produce dopamine. That's the chemical that we need to have good body movement. As that starts to decrease, we can sometimes give them dopamine, but it gets to a point where that medication may not work, so that we do something called deep brain stimulation, which is so cool. It is essentially a pacemaker that goes in your brain. So a power source is put in your chest here, and wires go up into your brain, and then a combination of neurologists and neurosurgeons place that where the damage is done. And what it does is it turns off those cells from causing the jerky movements. We're very fortunate. I can tell you CDH does more DBS than any other hospital in the state. We're very fortunate to have Dr. Michael Rizak, Dr. Josh Rosenau, Dr. Taras Masnik. They are the experts in DBS. And I'll tell you, if you want to see something absolutely dramatic, YouTube someone with Parkinson's and DBS, and you will see the changes that that can make. It doesn't work for 100% of the people, but the ones it works, it's unbelievable.
Sounds incredibly complex. Is this like one of your more complex neurological procedures, or is it pretty down to, I don't want to say, routine, but they know what they're doing, obviously.
Yeah, they know what. They definitely know what they're doing. The amazing thing is this surgery is done while the patient's awake.
Oh. While you're awake, you have your brain being operated while you're awake.
Yes. And they're going to tell you, make this movement, do this movement. People have to realize that we don't have a lot of sensation in our brain. The sensation is all in the skin and the scalp.
Right.
But once we get into the brain, there aren't nerves to cause you to say, it hurts.
So literally, you're going
to the dentist.
You have to have the patient respond to those directives so you can see what part of the brain is working?
Correct. They want to make sure that those electrodes are in the exact same place where the damage is. They have a very good idea because we have mapped the brain, but they want to get that as close to the area that's causing, whether it's a tremor in the hand, whether it's a tremor in the leg, whether it's a tremor in the jaw. They want to get to the point where they're at the exact point where they can turn that off to stop those tremors.
So, Kevin, you said it doesn't always work for everyone. Do they know ahead of time if you're a candidate for that, or do you not know until you're in there working on the brain?
Yeah, you're a candidate if you fail on the medication after a while, but they won't know whether they have gotten it to the exact place. So that's why some people will fail a little bit, which is unfortunate.
Dr. Most, final question. I saw the piece on Michael J. Fox just recently on CBS Sunday Morning, and he talked about, whether or not there'll be a cure for Parkinson's disease in his lifetime, and he is pessimistic, but there had been such money and research that is now available to help, like what we're talking about today, with the actual preventative or treatment. Do you see the medical community moving towards a cure, or will it always be trying to treat the symptoms of Parkinson?
Yeah, I guess I'm probably right in the boat with him. I'm not sure, unless we can get to the genetic background of why these cells are being killed, I think it's going to be more tell me what we can do as far as treatment. The tough thing is, too, when we talk about the dopamine treatment, that is taking away the symptoms, but it really isn't doing anything to stop the progression of the disease. One of the few things that have been shown to stop the progression of the disease is something called rock steady boxing. They've shown that if you get these individuals and you get them in this very active mode early on, it can actually slow the progression of Parkinson's.
So it's
another one that's great.
That's a specific exercise related to the condition.
Correct. It's a specific class with trainers. As a matter of fact, they often will train people early on with Parkinson's to be trainers, to take that on and to make sure that it gets in more places.
That's cool.
You want the people to be able to do this locally. So it's a non-for-profit. You know, they look for donations as well so that they can train more people and have more classes for these individuals who have been diagnosed early.
And again, one of the things that is an early marker is in times of stress, rubbing your thumb and forefinger together.
Yeah, you'll see people that rub their fingers together there, their thumb. It'll often be, you know, we all feel tired on Monday morning, you know, but if you feel tired all the time, you have difficulty getting up out of a chair. If someone says, you're walking a little bit unusual, you don't seem to have the arm swing. People say, I look at your face and I don't see expressions anymore. Those are all signs of Parkinson's early and definitely should at least be followed up.
All right, you want to plug donations. Who do we donate to?
Well, you know what? I think Rocksteady Boxing is great. They have rocksteadyboxing.org. That is one that is going to get to the people locally in the community and make an impact on their day-to-day life. And then the Michael J. Fox, as well as the Parkinson's, they're the ones doing the research to say, how can we identify this early and what's the cure going to be? So the two areas there, one is what can I do for people now locally, and then what can we do in the future?
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Sandberg, when do those notes go up from the duck?
10 minutes from now. It'll be at WGNradio.com and on our Facebook page.
All right. Thanks, Doc.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
See you later.